Father in heaven, thank you that through technology we can come together from many parts of the country. And Lord, we are all excited about our trip, our upcoming trip in just a few weeks in Mongolia. And I believe that our small contribution will have a significant impact. So Lord, help us as we plan and prepare so that we can maximize our effort and in reaching the people there for you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
All right, folks, you can just stop anytime and ask questions. Please identify yourself because those who are calling in, I may not be able to recognize your voice. So just tell us who you are and then we'll proceed. At this point, joining us, we have Isha, Denise, Jamie, and Aaron, and of course, Melissa, who is the assistant at the evangelism department. And she is really the glue behind the department. She makes sure that everything gets done properly, timely, promptly, just excellent. So about the orphanages, or maybe let me tell you about the country a little bit, give you an overview so that you understand what we're getting ourselves into. Mongolia. And I'm sure that many of you have done some research already, so please forgive me for being repetitive for things you may already know. But Mongolia for 70 years was under Russian rule, communist rule, I should say. And thus they were drilled into their minds, into their hearts that there's no such thing as God. And after the fall of communism, it's evident that the influence of 70 years of being taught atheism has had a significant impact. So today what you see in Mongolia is a people who are 97% non-Christian. So either they are just atheist, or those who have returned back to some type of religion have embraced their father's religion, their mother's religion, which is Buddhism. So most people there just do not know much, if anything, about Christianity. It's not like you could say, oh, you bring up a Bible character like David, let's say, or Moses, and people will say, oh, yeah, I've heard of him. They've never heard of Moses. They've never heard of Abraham. They've never heard of King David. They just don't know the Bible stories. They just don't know anything just about regarding Christianity in the Bible. So this is a unique place where we can really share things that we are very aware of, and the most people in our country know. And so it's a ripe field for evangelism. It's a very safe country. Very safe country. There's no reason whatsoever for you or anyone going there to be fearful, to wonder if someone's going to be watching, if Big Brother is going to be watching over our shoulders, if we say something out of line or do something unwise, if we're going to be arrested, kicked out, harassed. No such thing. They are very peaceful people. You may say that's kind of interesting because their ancestors were not known to be peaceful people. Genghis Khan was actually quite brutal and probably caused the death of many, many people. By the way, just a little trivia here. Some of you will be stopping in China, I believe. I know that Jamie and Aaron are planning to visit Beijing a little bit, and you will have a chance to visit the Great Wall. So here's the question. Why was the Great Wall of China built? Oh, we have a good student. Is he an A student?
to keep the Mongolians out.
That's right. The Mongolians kept coming in, and so finally they built the wall. And I guess
some Donald Trump ancestors must have been back there.
All right, Jamie, thank you very much. This is not a call regarding politics. So it is a very safe country. They welcome us. And, you know, deep inside, they're searching for truth. They are searching for truth. And it's amazing to see as they hear the wonderful Bible stories, how their hearts are touched, but they're mostly touched by our actions. As we go in and we care for them and love them and encourage them and treat them with respect, it opens their interest, pricks their interest in spiritual things. So it's a wonderful opportunity that we have. I'm glad that Jamie, and it is, I want to give credit where credit is due. I hadn't thought of doing an orphanage, and Jamie said, you know, I'm bringing some young people. What do you think of that? So I looked into it, and the folks there, our hostess, Enke, who was with us last night, unfortunately, for whatever reason, is not with us tonight. Enke said, oh, that's a great idea. I'm connected with people who run an orphanage. And so last night she began to tell us a little bit about it. It's an orphanage that has about 200 children in Ulaanbaatar. And they certainly would welcome us. And they have children ages 2 to 17, essentially. So we can go in there and run a VBS-like program in the morning. And I think it will be very well received. The challenge, of course, Erin is thinking this through as a teacher. She's saying, oh, 2 to 17, that's pretty broad range, a broad age range. So, but you can work magic, Erin.
I'll give all the teenagers to Jamie.
By the way, so you know, I've asked Jamie and Erin, who have worked a lot with youth and children as a pastoral team, the responsibility to oversee and help me and run the children's program, the VBS program. And so I will turn to them, defer to them as they plan and prepare. So expect and anticipate, and I'm saying this to you and to all the others, and Jamie, please do not hesitate to send emails, recruiting help, and et cetera, whatever you need to do. When I send emails, and you've received them all, the emails that I've sent include everyone's email, so it's just a matter of copying and pasting, so then you can just email everyone just like I have. So that's in a nutshell where we are, the environment that we're going in, the hosts that we work with, the Adventist Mongolian Mission is outstanding. Jamie, who has done many, many mission trips, will tell you that the organization that greets you, that coordinates your trip on the other side is crucial. If you have a lousy organization, you're going to end up with a lousy trip. Is that accurate, Jamie?
100%.
So, and we've had those experiences. Jamie and I have gone on mission trips where the infrastructure was questionable and we were a little frustrated. So, going forward, we always look for a very competent group of people to work with. By the way, so you know, Jamie and I know each other quite well. We've known each other for, 15, 14, 12, 13 years?
11, I think.
11? Oh, I've just added some years. I'm an evangelist at heart. Jamie we were colleagues as pastor back in California. We worked side by side, and what a pleasure to work with Jamie and Erin. It was one of the sweetest memories that I have as a pastor. So that's why we can banter back and forth. We know each other quite well, and it's been a joy to work with them, and it's great to be able to work with both of them again in the next few weeks. So anyway, that's in a nutshell what I have. You know, I really, like I said, I will defer to Jamie and Erin as you plan and prepare. Of course, we have some limitations, because everything, whatever we have, whatever we do, we have to bring from the United States. And I wish, of course, Enke would be here. She'd be able to tell us exactly what is available there. But I can assure you not a whole lot is available there. I'm sure we can buy some stuff, but the bulk of what we have needs to be brought by us over there and probably then left there for them to use as they continue ministering to children.
Quick question for you. You mentioned one one orphanage that has 200 kids. Are we going to one or two orphanages?
Well, I was hoping she'd line up two. She hasn't indicated that she's been able to secure a second one. But, you know, I see a silver lining in this. Sometimes you want to take on more than you should. And we're dealing with teenagers working with us, okay? And I want to make sure that we pace ourselves. So I may push again and say, what about a second one? But I wanted to talk to you about this and ask what you thought, because if the kids, let's say, work 2-3 hours at an orphanage and, you know, and maybe more because there's time to set up, there's planning that goes behind it. There's work beyond just the 2-3 hours that you're at the orphanage. And I want to make sure that we don't overdo it and then stress out our volunteers, the kids. Kids may not have the kind of stamina that older people have. And you may say, well, that doesn't make any sense. It's just a fact of life. And you know that's true.
So I would think that maybe we could spend, if we only went to one orphanage, what about us, you know, we can do a program, but can we just spend time with the kids? Like maybe our teenage helpers that are coming can read, you know, some books with the younger kids, or just, I mean, is that a possibility? Like actually just spending time with them besides just doing a VBS program, because that would put us there, you know, a couple hours longer. So at that point, I would say definitely only doing one orphanage.
Well, you know what I'm thinking, Aaron, what you could do is also probably play games with them. You know, that's something that you probably could do and they would absolutely love is for you to just hang out and do fun activities with them, sports, maybe play a game of soccer or teach if you bring frisbees. Aha, frisbee, yeah, discs,
especially with the older teenage kids, that would, if we had a soccer game or something going on.
We may even want to split up some of the kids. If we've got 2-year-olds and 17-year-olds, we could even do something with like 12 through 17 or 10 through 17 or something and have two different things and then maybe come together for several different things. Aaron and I have gotten around a couple different ideas of things we could do. We've got a whole bunch of felts that we can bring and do Bible stories with. One thing Aaron was wondering, Eve, is if we have any budget to get like coloring stuff, or you know, supplies, craft supplies, things like that we can buy here and bring over there. Which is kind of the funny thing is that a lot of stuff you can get cheap from Asia. We get it over here really cheap, and then we take it back over there. Is there any budget to do anything like that? Not a lot, but
yes.
Okay.
Well, why don't you work out a budget of things, and we will provide you with the money.
Perfect.
Go ahead, Aaron, please.
I was just gonna say I just found out about a program here in Denver, and it's called Arts for the Nations or something like that. And they provide free craft kits for you to take overseas. So I'm going to look into that, too.
Outstanding. Excellent. You know, one thing, I think you're right about what you said. You know, instead of going to orphanages, do two programs for the different ages. So maybe in the morning you would work with the younger kids, and then in the afternoon you'd work with the older kids. So, and you may end up with 100 and 100, let's say, or you know, some figure like that. So probably I would say let's not press. I'm leaning towards not pressing for more than we may be able to handle. That's sometimes less is more. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
Do you think the company will ship the craft kit directly to Mongolia?
No, we will have to probably take it.
Yeah, because, I mean, it would be like Oriental Trading Post, you know, you can get cheap craft kits there. I know Cheryl's gotten a bunch of stuff from there before. I doubt that they ship overseas. And
yeah, nice.
They'll ship if we pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 250-pound bags, though.
Yeah, here's the thing. There's quite a few going. There's about, at last count, we're looking at 50 to 60 people are going. Some of them, 10 of those are coming from Malaysia and one of them is coming from Switzerland. So they won't be of any help to us. But the rest, if everyone takes an extra bag with them, check-in bag, I tell you what, we can take a whole lot of stuff with us. So it's a matter of now pressing the pedal all the way, getting the stuff, and then making sure that we spread the joy among all the travelers. In addition to that, we're planning to take lots and lots and lots and lots of what, Melissa?
Beanie Baby. Sorry, there's a delay when I unmute.
Yeah, Melissa has Beanie Babies coming out of her ears.
Literally. We
made an appeal on Facebook, and we sent an email, and suddenly, Beanie Babies came out of everywhere. I think we accumulated almost 5,000 Beanie Babies.
Yeah, over 5,000.
Now, think about this, folks. Think about this. You remember when Beanie Babies were in their heyday and what you'd pay $15, $20 for a Beanie Baby? Think about 5,000 times how much Beanie Babies were paid. We have a fortune. We have a fortune in Beanie Babies. Now they're worthless. Anyway, we're thankful. We're thankful for all who sent them to us for the very purpose of taking them overseas. We've taken them to Zimbabwe and the kids there love them. We've taken them already on a mission trip to Mongolia and the kids there love them. Let me tell you the truth. Not just the kids loved them. The adults wanted them. It's like, you know, the kids and the adults are almost fighting over them. So we're going to take a bunch of Beanie Babies as well. So this is a great reward for kids to have. They will love those Beanie Babies. So we're going to take lots of stuff over there in addition to the medications that we're going to be taking for the clinics.
Cool. I'll bring my guitar so we can teach them songs and learn songs and sing and stuff with them. One question I have, will we have translators at the orphanage?
Yes, we are arranging for translators. Let me tell you this about songs, Jamie. They love to sing. The song service, I can assure you, you probably can go with a song service for half hour, let's say. And, you know, they love to clap. They love movement. We did song service with the adults and they, I mean, usually people who are brand new, you know, they're a little shy and a little self-conscious and they don't know what they're getting themselves into. But evening meetings, you start singing and you start clapping and they have no clue what's happening, but boy, they get into it. And, Bailey, be quiet.
That is Bailey.
So, I would say, plan for good, active songs. The kids will love them. You know, I picture like Father Abraham. I mean, you'll teach them Father Abraham in English, but before the week is over, these kids will be singing this with their heart.
Very cool. Very cool. Let's see here. So I'm just thinking kind of organizationally, you mentioned that we've got a bunch of different people doing a lot of different things. You mentioned that maybe some of the medical folks might come over and hang out at the orphanage. If as we kind of brainstorm, and I guess I'll check with you first on different things before I send blast emails out to everyone. How many are you envisioning coming from the rest of the from this group of 60 coming to the orphanages every day versus going to the meetings? Well,
here's what's going to happen. We're going to first focus on the clinics, and depending on the number of people we have, the dust has not yet settled.
Okay.
We just are not sure of the numbers yet. But once we have settled on who's going, then we will determine the number of churches we will work with. We started with one because, you know, we did not know how many people were going to join us. And then the group grew and we were at two and now we're at three and we may end up going to four different locations in Ulaanbaatar. So here's what I would recommend we do. The first day, which would be on Sunday, I would say, let's not take anyone to the orphanage. I want you to go there and do your program and you'll be able to assess and see what's going on, what's needed, share with the group, And then as we go forward Monday, Tuesday and on, we can decide what kind of help is best needed there. So in regards to that, we'll alert people at the possibility of going to the orphanage, of the likelihood, I should say. But let's not make solid plans for that until we really see exactly what the needs are.
Are there any other kids going besides the kids from my church?
There are some other kids. You know, this young lady that we were just talking about with you a moment ago. I hope she goes. I think she would be a nice one to include. She just graduated. Melissa, is that true? She just graduated from high school.
Who?
Mariana.
I don't know who that is. Do I?
Yeah, that's Abigail's daughter. You just said her name, Mariana.
Oh, Mariana. I thought you said Ariana. Okay. She's 18. That's all I know about her, and from Texas.
I think she just finished high school. Stop smiling, Jamie. And we have a gentleman, a colonel, who's coming with his 19-year-old son. I think he's 18. And so he's also coming, and I think the young man would be excellent to include in this. And I think there may be a couple other younger people as well. So. It's not going to be a huge group, but I think you'll have a nice core group. And if we have some of our adults, volunteers also join us, it sounds like Isha might be interested in doing that, and maybe Denise as well. We welcome them. And if we have a core group of 10, 12 people from our team that go to the orphanages, I think that would be outstanding. Now let me ask you this, Isha and Denise, is that what you're leaning on doing?
As far as spending our time volunteering at the orphanage?
Yeah, is that what you would be interested in doing or
Yes.
Okay, cool. Yes. Who is talking?
This is Isha.
Okay, great. So, well, I tell you what, we'd love for you to be there, and I know you will enjoy working with Aaron. I don't know about Jamie, but Aaron for sure. Oh.
Very good. I look forward to it.
And Denise, are you just still deciding? I mean, we're not forcing anyone.
Wherever I'm needed most is fine. The orphanages would be fine. I would do that.
Okay, great. We'll keep interacting on this. So nothing is settled. I just know that for Jamie and Aaron, it's settled. For the young people, it's settled. For Isha, it's settled. So for the rest, if there's still a question, we'll still make decisions as we go forward. Anything else, Jamie and Aaron?
As far as getting the core group together, can you or me, I don't know, just send an email out so that we can know, like, for people to respond that and the orphanage is what they are going to work for, and then I can have an email list of those particular people so I can send separate emails, you know, as we work on programming and stuff like that, so I have my people to send emails to?
Well, here's what I'll do. I'll send an email, Aaron, and asking people where they're thinking about working. And those who are saying, I'm interested in the orphanages, I'll get you their email addresses so you can directly interact with them. What probably would be nice is in probably about a month, maybe set up another conference call like this, and hopefully more of our people would be here, and the volunteers who have settled where they're going to be volunteering will be present, and you can interact with everyone then, and it will be easier.
Cool. I'd love to get the two teenagers involved over there too. I'll talk to Abigail or whatever her name is in Texas, and when I email her about the China piece, and then maybe we get in touch with the colonel's son.
By the way, are you thinking about puppets?
Thought about it. I haven't thought a whole lot about it yet. I'm getting through my VBS this week, and then my brain can switch gears.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you
will you be using the same VBS program like one of our churches uses here and take it over there?
Probably do our own thing.
Our own type of VBS. Okay.
Because we're going to have to
take everything
more. Like, I'm thinking of like focusing on a Bible character. Like, one day could be Moses. So we tell the Bible story about Moses and do a puppet play about Moses or have a craft about Moses or something like that. Because they don't know any of these basic Bible stories. So anything more advanced than that is probably too much.
But let me put it this way. Our VBSs here are for kids who know a lot about the Bible. And so every year, great creative minds have to come together and figure out a clever, interesting, creative way of sharing things that they already know. Am I correct?
Yeah.
From Mongolia, the beautiful thing is, doesn't matter. They don't know anything. I mean, it's like you tell them about Moses and the parting of the Red Sea, and they're like, oh, wow, we've never heard that. It's so cool. So you can't go wrong. There's just no way you can go wrong. So like you said, Aaron, a plan on sharing the exciting, the favorite stories that we know by heart, David and Goliath, they're going to just love that story. I can just see you play acting that story.
We'll do a song with that one, too. As a giant.
Absolutely. you can't go wrong. There's no way. So you can create a simple VBS without having to figure out some clever thing to do to teach kids that already know everything.
Do you guys have any puppets, Eve, or know where we don't have any puppets? So if we were to do a puppet show, do you know anybody that has any?
We don't have puppets, but I tell you what, I would give you free reins to research it, and possibly that's something we might invest in and take over and possibly leave with them for them to continue using in children's ministry in Mongolia. So look into that. And we had someone who brought puppets. It was just two or three puppets last time we were there. And it worked well what we did. I mean, it was so stinking simple. We had two people hold a sheet. I mean, we didn't even build anything. It was just two people hold a sheet and then two people behind the sheet or more do their thing with the puppets. And the people just absolutely loved it. It was so well received and it was so simple. Puppets and a sheet and you're ready to roll.
Cool. Okay. We've got a bunch of felts, too, we can use for the little kids, and we can leave those there. We've got a bunch of those. Pat Reinhardt has a whole bunch of them she's going to bring. I'll start kind of spreading the word for stuff around my church and see if anybody has stuff that we can take and use there and leave.
Good.
We'll get cracking.
I know other people who are bringing a set of felts. There may be – I may even – you know, one of my emails, I'll make an appeal for people to bring felts. Felts, you know, may not be the hottest thing in the U.S. anymore, but I tell you what, in Mongolia and other places, it's still a good way to teach the Bible stories to younger children.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Any other questions? Denise, Isha, do you have any questions?
Sure. Which I've not heard really good things about puppets. Which age group is receptive to puppets for children?
You know, the strange thing is when we did it that one time, the whole church was into it. It was just amazing. It was just amazing. I don't think there's a whole lot of puppeteering or whatever going on, and you should have seen the adults. I was the one holding the sheet, okay? So I had a good of the people, and we had them on the edge of their seats. They were like, wow, this is so cool. So you had the small kids, the middle, you know, the teenagers. Everyone was just riveted by the whole experience. So I don't think you can go wrong. They're still at a place in their lives where they haven't been spoiled by the world, so to speak.
Okay.
So when you did the pulpit show, how did you do it? Like, did you stop and have somebody translate, or did you not worry about translation? Just the show.
We did translation. So it was awkward. I won't deny that. So the person would hold the puppet and speak, and then they would stop, and then a translator. And the translator was standing not behind the curtain. They were standing outside. People could see them. So they would, just like when you preach, you're translated. Well, the puppet was translated by a translator in such a way. Now, the funny part, this is where it really got funny. The person doing the puppets really got into, and they would forget to let the translator translate. And that's when everybody was so amused, because they would suddenly realize it and stop, and the translator is trying to catch up, and everyone was bursting into laughter, and it just created this connection between us and them that was so powerful.
Maybe we'll have translator puppets and like an English speaking puppet and a Mongolian speaking puppet.
Well, you know, the fact is, if you have church members, and we will have some church members there as well, if you tell them which story to do, they could do it themselves as well. But, you know, it takes away from the joy from your kids, our kids doing it. So let's let them translate, and we'll have the fun.
Cool. Sounds good. Do you think of anything else?
All right, Aaron and Jamie, here's what I'll do. I'll make sure that you have Anke's email address, and you need to connect with her. Let me tell you, she is the sweetest, most wonderful lady, and I'm just very surprised that she's not here today, because she's very, very conscientious, and something must have happened that she's not able to join us. So, please interact with Anke. She's Mongolian. Let me tell you about her. She's the very first baptized Seventh-day Adventist in Mongolia, after the fall of communism. Brad and Kathy Jolly, were the first missionaries after the fall of communism there. They were sent there by Adventist Frontier Missions back in the early 1990s, and they labored hard for a long time with no results, but finally they had their first fruit, and it was our dear friend Anke. And she's the oldest Seventh-day Adventist, but she's well younger than I am. But she is the pioneer there. And the beautiful thing is, she embraced the message. She went to the Philippines. She was trained there. She got her, master in public health. So she's very good. She's very educated, and speaks fluent English. And so Aaron and Jamie, you will have no trouble interacting with her, and you will find in her a great friend and a great collaborator.
Cool.
All right, very good. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm sorry that we were not able to answer as many questions as I wish we had, but I think we made some headway nonetheless.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it was
good. Nisha and Denise, looking forward to meeting you guys.
Yes.
Yes, it'll be good to connect.
Yeah, this will be fun.
By the way,
let me add
this just as a final thought, and I mentioned this last night, and that is, sometimes you go on mission trips and you wonder, am I making a difference? I'm spending all this money to go there, and am I making a difference? Well, number one, let me just say this, you're making certainly a difference in your life, because everyone who participates in a mission trip, particularly in a place like Mongolia, comes back so absolutely blessed. So, you know, the difference happens in your life, but you are making a difference in the church's life there. Our presence there, imagine this, our presence there has impacted the church to the point where their attendance, because of the clinics, has increased, visibly increased. Some pastors would say 10, 20, even 25% increase in attendance, Sabbath after Sabbath, because of the clinics and the opportunity for the church there to connect with all of their neighbors, thanks to the clinics facilitated by It Is Written and its friends. So we are making a difference. Now, regards to the orphanages, that might be a little harder to track because orphanages are a special category. But who knows, that may open doors that we cannot even begin to imagine. So we are making a difference as Christians by our actions, by our songs, by our prayers, by our love, by our kind words. We are setting the stage for something great to happen in that country. As I've said earlier, it is ripe for evangelism. What nation, think about this, what nation, 97% non-Christian, you can go to and not fear for your life? Most countries that are 97% non-Christian, believe me, if you start proselytizing, talk about Jesus, your head is going to be cut off. And I'm not exaggerating. So, this is a great place, and good things are happening thanks to God and thanks to people like you who are responding to God's calling. And I'm very, very thankful that you're part of this journey.
Looking forward to it.
Pastor Jamie, would you lead us in prayer as we finish here?
Absolutely. Lift our heads. Father in heaven, Lord, it's exciting to dream a little bit about what's going to be going on when we get to Mongolia. And Father, whatever it is that we end up doing with kids or with medical stuff or with the churches in the evenings, Lord, we just ask that you send angels ahead of us to soften people's hearts so they can be especially receptive to you while we go there and share our love for you with them. Father, as we plan all these things, keep us safe. And Lord, we just thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you, not only here in the States, but on missions like this in Mongolia. Please bless our efforts, Lord, and we can't wait to see what you have planned in Mongolia. Thanks so much in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. We'll see you soon, and we'll be in touch.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye-bye.